The Australian Open is off to a great start for Ash Barty, winning in straight sets there last night. Let's talk day one and day two of the Australian Open. It's a good morning to Roger Rashid.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, Roger. Look, it was probably expected, a winning performance from Ash Barty, but she really didn't put a foot wrong, did she?
No, she didn't. And you could just, look, there's obviously, playing a qualifier, you're obviously going in there with a lot of confidence for an opponent. There's a lot of tension around its nervous energy. And how do you respond to that? And look, she obviously found wanting at 6-love, 5-love. And I was glad she got a game, actually, because the reason being, it sometimes can ruin your career. It can ruin someone's, they don't ever get over, as an athlete, you feel pretty, you feel embarrassed. You feel sort of like you've let yourself down and let people down. And I've seen quite a few people lose on that scoreline, 6-love, 6-love, and really struggle to find themselves for a period of time there because they were, it's different. You sit down on the tennis court there when you've got a big crowd and you're surrounded and there's nowhere out. You're really caged and it's a hollow feeling. But on the other side, for Ash, it was a perfect start for her. Just really calm on the tennis court. She has been for a long time now, and it's a perfect way to open a major, because when you look at these major championships and you look at the favourites, you want to, yes, sometimes they might get caught into this real big dogfight early in the tournament, but it's about how economically they can actually get through the early rounds so they can give everything, as much as they've got in their fuel tank, to the back end of the tournament where the matches will definitely be heightened.
Roger, Australian wildcard Alex Vukic got his maiden Grand Slam main draw win after beating Lloyd Harris. What did you make of that match, and how do you think he'll go in round two?
Well, I told our listeners to jump on that one.
Yeah.
I thought there was an opportunity there because Vukic's got, he's a nice, strong-bodied lad who hits the ball with a lot of purpose. He's got some calm on the tennis court. He backs himself. There's no doubt about that. So, he feels like he can belong in that environment. And, and Lloyd Harris is coming off, he's just not playing his most natural flamboyant tennis that he normally plays. So there's something going on in his camp. So I always thought it was an opportunity. And for Vukic to get that win in four sets and close it out in the fourth and not have to go into the fifth, where experience would have turned up then, and potentially Lloyd Harris might have come through. So that was a big tick near his name. He now plays Albot from Moldova and who's a qualifier. And again, and that was interesting. He got through that against Nishioka, who basically self-imploded on the tennis court. So I don't take a lot into that that result. Albot Camp, he's just a solid tennis player, but a solid tennis player means that Vukic has a real opportunity to get through that match as well. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what he does and if he can back it up and not get too caught up in, enjoy the first round win, but with a major, you do have a day in between. So you can actually enjoy the win, come back and regroup and actually get involved in your second round encounter.
Just on the other Australian men, yesterday, Rog, John Millman got past Feliciano Lopez in four sets. James Duckworth would be disappointed losing in five to Adrian Mannarino. I just want to touch on Tanasi Kokkinakis really quickly.
Yep.
In the full light of day, I know he'd be disappointed losing the first round of Australian Open, but when he sits down and reflects on the Australian summer, do you think he'd be quite content with what he's achieved in Adelaide and obviously resurrecting his career a little bit?
And any Australian player would take that. If you gave them that at the start of the Australian summer, you could have a title and your first title, you would accept that. But you'd cringe a little bit at losing first round at the Australian Open afterwards. Obviously had a flat moment, wasn't able to get himself get himself up, just wasn't happening for him. And when it's not happening as it was the week before, that's the beauty of this sport, and that's why you've got to respect the week-in, week-out performers. It wasn't a good result. He wouldn't be happy with it. They're the sort of things you've got to address because, he's 25 years of age. And he would have expected more from himself. And that was a disappointing finish to the Australian summer. But, yes, you take you know, you take what's happened so far, it sets him up for the, you know, it's a big picture vehicle for Marcy.
Roger, Nick Kyrgios is on tonight. How do you see him going? He hasn't obviously had the best preparation coming into this, pulling out of both lead-in tournaments and suffering COVID. What do you think his chances are?
I think they're very good tonight. Liam Brody's a, you know, qualified, won matches. When you're winning matches, you feel good about yourself. Nick hasn't played a match yet, so for the Australian summer, and hasn't played a lot of tennis full stop in tournament play. So, but he loves the court. John Cain Arena, so that'll be lively. There's no doubt about that. If you get a ticket in there, he makes it entertaining. So I expect Nick to get through that. Will there be a bit of up and down? There may be, because you know he just hasn't had the volume of work as match play. But definitely expect him to get through that match. I'd be surprised if there was any other result, to be perfectly honest. And so we're all looking forward to that. Alexei Poprin's playing as well, young Australian. So he takes on Rindik Nesh, who made it all the way through to the Adelaide final last week, and who defeated Kokkinakis defeated. So yeah, Poprin can actually go to town and get some education. Hopefully he's tapped on Thanasi Kokkinakis' shoulder and asked him a little bit about that match and how it unfolded. So that's a good opportunity for him. And then we bounce over to I do want to mention Sam Stosur because. She plays today. This is her last Australian Open. It's quite interesting that it's been a bit under the radar. Obviously, the popularities with the big names, big seeds, but Sam Stosur has been that person who's been a big name, a big seed, a Grand Slam champion, a finalist at the French as well. Won Grand Slams in doubles, and she's playing now in the last Australian Open today. So, plays a wild card, 28-year-old, who's got a ranking of 172 in Anderson. From the US. So we hope she gets a win on the board. It would be fantastic because the Australian Open and the Australian summer generally has not been Sam Stosur's best results. If you looked at them in a group, she's found it very hard to have good results here in Australia. It'd be great if she got a win today.
Yeah, it sure would. 12 Aussies in action and all. And we actually didn't even mention also Alex de Minaur, who's on court tonight as well. He's a favourite. In fact, a lot of the Aussie men are favourite today.
You wouldn't
see too many upsets, you would think, Roger. So we might get a few through.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would look at the Popper and Rindik Nesh. Rindik Nesh is a real quality player, so I just think that sits on a knife edge, and you'd probably need to go for the Frenchman because of what he did last week. I just think there's a bit of form there. So
yeah, he's
a
slight favourite, $1.75 over Popper, who's $2.05.
Yeah, Bolt plays Bikini from Spain. Again, I just feel like that's a... You know, Alex Bolt's is a, you know, got another wild card. I don't know how much longer you can give wildcards to 28, 29-year-olds. I really think we need to address the wildcard situation in Australian tennis because it needs to go to the youth versus... and you've got to stand on your own 2 feet, I think, at that time of your career. There's no doubt about that. Alex Bolt struggled to get inside the top 100 throughout his course of his career. And accept it if you get it, but I don't know if we need to be do that with tennis in Australia. We need to look at that system, the way that operates. Yeah, that'll be on a knife's edge as well. Kyrgios, yes. Alex de Minaur and Jordan Thompson versus Stevie Johnson. Again, that's a 50-50 match. I'll lean with Jordan purely because it's in Australia, but I just really think it's a bit of a 50-50 tennis match as well. Stevie Johnson's a very good hardcore player. He's not having the best career at the moment, his last couple of seasons, but he's a good hardcore player. Mm.
And over on the women's side, Storm Sanders is the outsider when she faces Arina Sabalenka.
She will be. There's no doubt about that. But great experience. And if you're going to get Sabalenka at any time of her career, it's probably right now because she does have an issue on serve at the moment. She's just, you know, in Adelaide, she just served a bucket. I can't remember. They were in the 20s. There was a match where she served 20 double faults in a tennis match. So if you think about it, it's virtually a set of tennis she's handed to her opponent. So there's a great opportunity. If they haven't sorted that out and Storm Sanders can get some tension in the scoreline, I really do believe this is a must-watch match for those reasons. There's a lot of vulnerability on the Sabalenka side of the fence. So let's have a look at that one. I'm not sure what that's paying for the listeners, but it's it might be worth just having a little cheeky on that one.
Roger, not really the day one of the tournament so far, but I think we might have found the strangest match of the whole AO so far. I don't know if you saw this. It was off Broadway a little bit on court three, the match between Diana Yastremska and Madison Brengel yesterday. Now, Yastremska was a walkover quit at 5-love down in the third set, so Madison Brengel went through. But looking at the stats, Brengel only hit one winner for the entire match. Yastremska hit 31, and she lost the match. Have you ever seen anything like that in your time watching tennis?
What were the unforced errors? Did you see them?
Oh, I haven't seen unforced errors. Okay. It was just a clean.
She might have hit 31 winners and 70 unforced
errors.
Yes,
that's right.
So if it was lopsided in that way, but no, if you just looked at those, it's funny, isn't it? Tennis is a funny game because the numbers don't necessarily match the result. You can win a host. You know, you can win 15 more points than your opposition in a three set match, and you've lost. Hmm. So it's not about how many who wins the most points. It's when do you win them. But that's quite a staggering differential in winners and winners on both sides of the court.
Yeah, 31-1, 31-1. It was just remarkable.
It can often happen in the first round of a slam, though. You just get some really one-sided results.
Exactly. And if you've hit one winner only, it's not an exciting day on the court. Do you know what I mean? Like whether it's anything, whether it's a high-scoring football game or, you know, whatever it is, or a netball game, or whatever it is, we do like the wow, and the wow is winners and getting big scores. I think, you know, if that's entertaining, it means there's been a lot of activity. So when there's one unforced error, I mean, one winner, it's like, oh, I need to change something about my game.
Hey, Roger, very different looking Australian Open this year, very different looking Grand Slam with the technology as a result of COVID. Your thoughts on it, how it's working, and what do you think it means for the future?
Yeah, I like it. I guess you're talking about the line scoring and there's no umpires. Yeah, well, when I was on the board of our global tour, the ATP, and as I sat there and represented the players, we initiated that at what's called the end of the year tournament, which is it's called the Next Gen. It's all the youth play, the top eight best young players playing that tournament. So we initiated that, and it was an area where we were trialling a whole lot of different types of activation. That was one of them. I like it. It looks clean on the court. You can't. It's taken away the disputes that take place because they look at the technology. Some people do like the interaction of the umpire and then the crowd, and so there's the challenge and away you go. So there's no challenge now. You can actually just challenge if you think it's close, and the reality is you're going to get the same result. And the other thing that I do like that. Yes, I think it's better for the sponsors and everything off the backboard, so they do have a clean slate. If you look at it from that perspective, from a tournament's perspective, if you look at it, the other thing I do like, you may not have noticed, but take a little bit of notice, is that with the COVID ruling as well, the players have to put their towels on the side of the court in a little box, and so some players put two towels, so they one on the right hand side, one on the left hand side of each box, and so you'll notice that they're not going to their towel very often. So we in tennis, there was a habit that after every point, you know, that asked the ball person to run up and give them the towel and have a little wipe down, and some more than others. But now it's the game's just a bit cleaner and not as much going to the towel. And I do like that because it was a strange scenario where you'd always call for the ball person to come up and give you the towel and just wipe that last bit of sweat off and away you went. But that's not actually in play either. So there's a few interesting things that have come out of our world of COVID.
Yeah, it's interesting to keep an eye on for the next couple of weeks for sure and certain. Roger, enjoy the day's tennis and we'll speak to you again tomorrow.
Thanks very much. And the last thing I will say, that it was outstanding to just be talking tennis and watching tennis yesterday. So that scenario has gone and that wave's settled down. And I'll tell you what, around the venue it was, there was a lot of hype, a lot of excitement, and, you know, tennis was the winner yesterday, which was good.
It's great to hear, Roger, and we'll chat again tomorrow. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Have a good day.